Another large utility in the United States has promised to go carbon-free by 2050. Arizona Public Service says it plans to close 2 coal-powered plants and by the end of this decade get 45% of its power from renewable sources like solar and wind. Big utilities across the country are setting similar goals, but are they moving fast enough? Joining us now is the new CEO of APS, Jeff Goldner. Jeff, welcome.
Thanks. Hi, Peter.
And first of all, you admit yourself that this is an ambitious plan. How do you plan to do it?
Yeah, it's an ambitious plan. So what we're talking about doing is decarbonizing by 2050. So that would be going to 100% carbon-free in our electric supply. And one of the challenges is we know how to integrate more renewables, but all of us are concerned about what we're going to need to do to get really the last bit of that carbon out of the system. And so it's going to be the tail end of the next 30 years that's going to require a lot of investment, a lot of new R&D so that we can figure out how to get to a zero carbon grid.
R&D in what? Are you referring to like battery storage power for a solar plant or something like that?
Yeah, R&D is really the central crux of what we've got to invest in now. So we've done good at getting solar prices lower, so the cost of solar electricity is good. Really, the change now is moving into what do we do with storage? And there's two kinds of storage. There's short duration storage, shifting from the middle of the day when the sun's bright into the evening. There's also long duration storage, which is how do we get the amount of energy that we produce in the spring and the fall when we don't need it as much into the summer season where we do need it. The other one is how do we invest in things like hydrogen generation? So we know that we're going to need power plants that you can turn on with a punch of a button to maintain reliability. Right now, those are natural gas plants. There's a move to say, can we go to hydrogen-fueled combustion turbines, or can we do something to capture the natural gas that comes out of a natural gas turbine?
One of your goals is to close 2 coal power plants, one in Arizona scheduled to close, or was scheduled to close anyways, in 5 years, and another one that you own in New Mexico that is now set to close 7 years ahead of schedule in 2031. Coal, for a lot of companies, doesn't make sense anymore financially. So if that is the case, why not just shut those plants down now?
Yeah, the very important thing right now about the electric system is we've planned it to serve our peak demand. Our peak demand in Arizona, as you can imagine, is in the summer. And so right now, if we did not have our Cholla, which is the Arizona coal plant, and our Four Corners, which is in New Mexico coal plant, we wouldn't be able to keep the lights on in Phoenix during the summer. So you've got to move to say, how do I replace that generation with a different source, but maintain both reliability and affordability? Coal's been an important part of the history of Arizona for sure, but it's been necessary for us to actually keep the lights on, and it's going to be necessary for a while. So we're going to figure out how we're going to exit it early and replace it with generation that can maintain reliability and still keep affordability for our customers.
People who work in those plants and the communities that rely on those jobs might be concerned to hear this news. What will you do for them?
Yeah, it's an important thing that we have to do, which is look at how we make investments on, in particular, the Four Corners power plant, which is on the Navajo Nation.
A place that struggles financially very much.
It is. It's a tough economy there. And that power plant, and it's also got a coal mine attached to it, so it's called a mine mouth plant. And the power plant and the mine are a significant part of the Navajo Nation economy. And so some might say, we'll go up and build a solar plant on the nation. And the challenge is that a solar plant, once it's built, will produce property taxes, but it won't produce high-paying jobs. It won't produce mining royalties. And so what we're going to be focused on is, can we do more economic development so that we can get some higher wage jobs, look at investing in that community to help it transition, and really hopefully take advantage of some clean energy opportunities in that space as well.
Just 2 years ago, APS spent $38 million to defeat Proposition 127 in Arizona. This is a ballot measure that would have required utilities like you to get half of your energy from renewable sources by 2030. The goal you just announced is essentially the same. What has changed over those couple of years?
A couple of things that are important. First is that the goal here is carbon-free, and Proposition 127 was focused just on renewables. So to us, it's very important that we protect the Palo Verde Generating Station, which is the largest generating station in the U.S.
Nuclear,
and it is 100% clean. The ballot initiative would have threatened it because it didn't really talk about clean. It just talked about renewables.
Big utilities across the country have already announced their carbon-free plans. climate scientists, as you know, say there's really no time to waste if you are to avoid an irreversible climate disaster. Do you think that you could go even faster than carbon-free by 2050? And what would that take?
It's going to be difficult to do it while maintaining that affordability and reliability. I would never say never. R&D technology can be exciting. It's where a lot of the future is going to depend on us, on how we move. And you're right. I think we're the 14th utility who's announced a decarbonization plan in the U.S., and the energy industry in general is moving faster than any other segment in the economy to remove carbon from its system. What's more important, I think, than how quickly the electric companies can move is how quickly you can transition other parts of the economy onto a lower carbon energy system. So if we can move to a lower carbon energy grid and then move vehicles with electric vehicles onto that grid, you're going to have more of an impact on carbon than you would by focusing on, you know, the last 10% or so of the carbon in the electric grid.
I know you are a business. You have to answer to shareholders. How much of this is about money, the financial conditions of the utility market, and how much of it is about the climate?
You hear from our investors a steady drumbeat that they are concerned about what we're doing in what's called environmental social responsibility and governance. We have European investors, for example, and when we meet with those European investors, this is one of the first things they talk about is what are you doing in decarbonization?
But coal just doesn't pencil out the way it used to either. That's the truth.
It is. In a large measure, the challenge that's affected coal across the United States has been the sudden resurgence of natural gas, largely from fracking. And as natural gas prices came down and stayed down, it became very difficult to economically operate a coal plant. In a lot of places, like in Arizona, that plant was a critical part of our energy mix, so you couldn't just eliminate it because you wouldn't be able to maintain reliability. But the economic pressures on coal have certainly been significant.
That's Jeff Goldner. He's CEO of Arizona Public Service. It's the largest utility in Arizona that recently announced plans to knock out its carbon emissions by 2050. Jeff, thanks for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me on.